And DG, you have a way of speaking succinctly, you and the Chief Financial Officer, so that we rather focus on the salient issue. I'm sure in your hands, the second quarter report will be dealt with. That's what we are now on, members. Thank you.
Yes, Chair, as you said, brevity is the soul of all wit, so we will proceed as you say. Chair, I'm not going to spend any time on the economic overview because we dealt with it in the earlier discussion, but let's take Honourable McPherson's point that we've had a divergence between global growth and South African growth. They picked up and we have not moved out of our low growth trajectory. Having said that, we see that, as I said, over the past year, there's been a change in business confidence and consumer confidence, and we are now looking upwards. The green shoots are emerging. So as you can see, all the indicators are looking, we had the recession and so on. The good, on the positive side, is that our trade deficit is narrowing and improving. And as you know, we face the twin deficits, the budget deficits and the trade deficits, at least on this front. We're starting to turn the corner with regards to manufacturing trade, especially. Our trade balance with the continent remains positive and is increasing. We increased in the quarter by 6 billion. We exported 87 billion rands of goods to the continent, and that is increasing, so it's a positive trade balance with the continent. But also, especially with the BRICS, as you know, we've always been running a trade deficit with China and others, because of we import all the lovely cell phones and we export raw materials, but even that gap is narrowing now because we're selling more value-added products. Even to China, our wine exports are growing, some of our component exports and so on. And also, as I said, if you look at the blue line and the red line there, the blue line is our exports and the red line is our imports. Now, as you know, from GDP growth, if you look at the formula, it is imports subtracts from GDP growth.
Yeah.
And exports adds to it, that's X minus Y. Now, what you will see is the blue line is slowly overtaking the red line. And that means our trade balance is becoming positive for the first time in almost our history as a country. So that is green shoot, and that is why we must keep our manufacturing strategy going, because as you know, one of the biggest exports is autos. We export over 180 billion rands of cars, and as you heard from BMW, so then very quickly I'm going to go to the different programs. We spoke about this. We've been working in the second quarter. We've been beefing up our work around the automotive industry. We've been working with Denel. They've got massive and advanced capability. They're one of only five countries in the world that can produce some of the stuff they produce. And the ADAR we've been working on. Also, there was the Africa Aerospace Defense Exhibition, which we supported, which displays our capability in the sector. Then also agro-processing, you mentioned it earlier, and thanks to the committee here for this, is really there's improvements in the sugar industry, both on the transformation front and in terms of giving some respite to the industry. They're back on track now. As you know, they suffered from the imports. The training, as we mentioned, we keep going with building our apprenticeships capabilities. This is now in the boat building industry, and as you know, there's a training academy that we're supporting, and that is mentioned there. So that's good work in boat building. That's again industrial procurement. Here, we've also won the battle with Arms Corps. We now designate these products that you have to buy locally as well. So here our local defense industry is making these weaponry systems, and that's because of our procurement designation system. So as you know, the biggest problem with the arms deal was not the corruption was there, but everything was imported, and we almost killed Denel, but now we're back on track with reviving our local defense industry. Then the very important one is the signing in the spirit in July this year, we signed the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, and we are the 46th country to do so. So hopefully soon this trade agreement will come into effect legally. And thanks to Parliament for adopting and for supporting our submission. Then the other sector we're working on is LPG sector. And here it's important work we're doing in Mozambique with ECIC, supporting the Golfino LNG project, where we're building a pipeline, and that will be using South African content. So the steel and everything produced in this pipeline in Mozambique, because ECIC, your agency, is sponsoring that or is providing some finance, the quid pro quo is that they must produce the work in South Africa. Then again, here Tanya can come in here. This is Tanya's area, about the metals and machinery equipment industry. But also, we've worked with we've had to protect the industry from imports. So here, hexagon screws, we've had to put on a duty on that so that we can protect our local industry. And then Tanya has been to the Alstom plant in France, and as you know, she spoke earlier about Gibella. And not only are we building the locomotives now in South Africa, but we're also doing business development, enterprise development, bringing small companies into the supply chain as well. And yeah, I must say, the French are really very, 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 very positive and very constructive in this, especially in this Alstom program. Then quickly, the incentives. This is for a quarter. 209 companies helped. We also made 20 interventions, and for the first time now, as you know, we've been assisting black industrialists with finance, but their biggest problem is market access. They can't sell their product, so we created a market access and procurement forum with them, where we get the big retailers, we get the SOEs, and we say, start opening up the shelves, not only to Unilever and Nestle, also allow space on the shelves for black industrialists. I've mentioned the big achievement in July was the African Continental Free Trade Area. We also conducted a visit to Iran. As you know, we are big investors there with MTN, but also we're exporting some value-added products and we want to open up new markets there. We also hosted the successful BRICS ministerial. That also took place in that period. Very quickly then turning to the export competitiveness, as we discussed earlier, export sales are key. So we achieved 1.4 billion and our target was 1.2 billion. So under the EMEA program, we took 304 companies. And as mentioned in the earlier discussion, we are now looking at maybe improving our exhibitions, and we're thinking of bringing in more private sector participation into the organizing of these stands and these exhibitions. Very successful visit also to Australia. In terms of the SEZ, we are powering ahead, especially with, as you know, the three successful ones are continuing. Kuha is London and Dubai Tradeport, but the new one is we're working intensively on Mosina in Limpopo and Mosina Mokado one, and there we had a successful visit to China and we signed an agreement with Bank of China to assist in bringing players into the zone and financing some of the projects. And then also there's now also progress with Richards Bay, and Richards Bay also we've taken them on different trips with us, but they've done now to Belarus and other, but even those SEZs are now starting to move. As Honorable Alders mentioned, the two slow SEZs is still now Owar Tambo and Saldana. We have now engaged both of them.
Can you mention what the holdup is with Saldana? Because
As you know, Saldana was premised on the oil industry. Okay. And as you know, when the oil industry collapsed, obviously investment in the oil industry. So they also are developing now a more diversified strategy to not only rely on oil industry, to have a more diversified. Owar Tambo again, they've only got two investors so far. So it's a bit better, but really they should have been far ahead. So we're working on them to maybe look at the automotive industry and to the rail industry there. But as I said, the others are hitting 40 investors. Koha is about 38. As London has 40 investors, Dubai Trade is also doing exceptionally well. But the others, but we're working on those two then. But as I said, Limpopo is now moving. They should be overcoming all their issues. And even the Richards Bay is picking up. On the question of the other big events in this quarter was in 9th and 12th July, we hosted the Township Economy Summit. And as you know, we said we've got this missing middle in our economy where the bulk of entrepreneurs are excluded. So what we've developed then now with the industry and everybody is to develop a coherent township strategy to incorporate the townships in, and the industrial park program is key to this, where we need to revive economic, provide support packages to township entrepreneurs, to businesses, the informal sector even, and also to link them into the mainstream economy. But this is what was a big milestone. And hopefully in the next administration this will become as important as IPAP. Then turning and we're getting to conclusion then, on the legislative front, while you've been actively engaged with us and keeping our CCRD unit and DDG Evelyn Masocha basically are making a resident of Cape Town. We've done then the liquor awareness program, which is big. We've got, done a workshop for 300 people in Mpumalanga and Maloto. Also the National Liquor Authority. We've launched our online case management system. And as you know, that system is now working well in terms of turnaround of license applications. And so on. Also, training for participants on how to utilize our electronic online system. Then turning to the administration and the department again, as you could see with our delegation, we're keeping our target with 52%. Women, Malibongwe, we exceeded our target by 3%. Again, we still keep the best track record in government on paying all our suppliers within 15 days, actually. But we've kept our within the limit. And then again, also with employment of disability, we take it. Then in terms of financial performance, the CFO is here. We'll be able to unpack any detail you need. But broadly, we this is for the second quarter. But we so far spent 3.4 billion of our budget. There's a 20% variance in terms of where we should be, but as I said, that is normal because, as you know, we pay our incentives after we've confirmed the machinery has been installed. And also all the paperwork is in order, the tax compliance, the one. So therefore, sometimes our disbursements doesn't take place as soon as they are made. But I think we are on track. As you know, we are. Over the year period, we always come in under 1% underspending, and this just gives you a division by division breakdown of our incentive program. Kelly Boog.
No, thank you very much. As you say, we're very happy that Mr. Khan is here. It's necessary to unpack the financial performance. So, members, you know, you can also direct questions on slide 23 as well, and it's not just 23, it's 24. Do you want to speak to anything there on page 20, slide 24, Mr. Khan? No. All right. So let's go straight into the committee, Honourable MacPherson, Honourable Albert,
thank
Honourable
you.
Williams.
Thank
you're
you.
Feeling a bit better.
Thank
right.
you, DG. I should ask a question. I know that the department does a number of these sort of road shows, I think they're doing one today, unpacking legislation to communities. I'm just interested why the department does that for legislation that is not coming to Parliament. So I know that you're doing it for the liquor bill, I know that you're doing it for the gambling bill, the lotteries bill. Those are not going to see the light of day in Parliament. I'm just interested what the rationale is taking legislation to communities that's not going to be considered. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable MacPherson. Honourable Elvis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just want to know a few things about the trade numbers. Can you explain to us, DG, why we are still lagging within the BRICS group, the trade that's taking place between us and the BRICS partners, whether it's really beneficial for us to belong to the group, and then also the future of the group, considering the change in government in Brazil, and then also just with regards to the United Kingdom, the old Brexit issue, what our take is on that, and are we engaging in negotiations already to ensure that we have an agreement with the United Kingdom ourselves, outside of the EU? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Elvis. Honourable William.
Thank you, Chair. First, I just want to thank the DG for the presentation and his crew for the presentation. That was very good. I just want to know, the emphasis seems to be on job creation, and that's obviously very, very important for South Africa in our current situation. But I do think there should be more emphasis placed on transformation. There should be more emphasis placed on the developmental state. In other words, then, that we're not just going to create jobs at all costs, because potentially what we could end up is a situation where we have very wealthy industrialists across the colour line, both black and white, and then this massive amount of employed but basically working poor. So I just want to know, when you put emphasis on job creation, are you putting emphasis on creating decent jobs? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Williams. DG? I don't know who was before, but yes, Honourable Maslobo, Honourable Khadebe.
I think Honourable Comrade Williams is correct. In as much as the emphasis is coming mostly to say what is an impact, but let's try to broaden the impact in terms of the other transformation imperatives, because you could see we can have a coming to this land that begins to say it's more about people employed. In as much as the economic asset base, it can also be about the ownership of those assets and so forth. But there is something I wanted to check with you, DG. There are some few programs, and I can see someone also rounded them out. There is a program that some programs, trade and investment, they look to be the expenditure there. Those ones that they are below the norm at this stage. To say what's been the concern, and then is your team now having an acceleration plan just to be able to pick up, because it's now after 6 months. That's what we just have the sense to say. In the main, highlight what are the key challenges, but we have mitigation that we can be able to improve the time loss, especially if you look at the areas where the under expenditure is. They look to be in the critical areas in terms of what we're supposed to do. But other than that, the report, we need to note the advances that have been made. That's so much.
Thanks, Honourable McLobo. DG, once you've answered the questions and addressed some of the comments, would you please address the issue of recapitalisation of NEF and AMESA, please? You respond, DG, please.
Honourable, very quickly then, Honourable MacPherson, I think I'll discuss with the DDG there, but I take it those programs was laid out in our IPP. As you know, we were quite serious about bringing both liquor and gambling to the cabinet and to yourself, and part of that is always we have the community and we have programs to take the community with us with regards to community outreach program. But as I said, it was abruptly stopped, those programs. But I think we will then, as I said, if it's going to be on permanent hold, we will then obviously not continue running it in the next quarters. But take it. Honourable Albert, yes, on the question of BRICS, as you know, our trade deficit was there because, you know, China is basically with over 1.2 billion people. The economies of scale they have, they are a manufacturing juggernaut. And we can never, it's very difficult to compete with them. And therefore, but as I said, what we've decided, the only way you're going to break into their market is to develop very niche products. Because you can't compete with them. They can produce anything cheaper than you. Because even as you know, it's a South African running their Mercedes-Benz plant in Beijing. Is run by a South African, but as I said, he's got the economies of scale in his own plant. When he was in his London, he ran a small plant. There he runs big plants. So what we found is niche products. So, for example, you will see certain IT equipment we've been able to do, defence and aerospace is one where we are better than them. So, for example, aerospace is picking up big business there. But also, we have to get our wines and then our rooibos tea. So it's niche products that we have to look at, and we're making slow progress, but at least there's breakthrough. And then also in Russia, we've managed to break into the citrus market.
Listen to the DG.
So we've been able to improve our trade balance with Russia, with China, by introducing some key products where we have an advantage, and I've just given some examples. I think we must obviously be, we must always remain, no matter what happens to the political orientation of the members, it's mainly at a market for us, and it's the world's biggest market. So you can't turn down that gift, and it's for us to take advantages. Unfortunately, we do have the capabilities to do that, so we should absolutely remain part of BRICS. Honourable Global and Honourable Williams, I think, as I said, the jobs and the transformation, as I said, we've always maintained that there's no trade-off between the two. You need the job growth and you need transformation. But as you know, they always go together. As I said, just as a last example, I don't know if people recall Solly Sachs, but you would know, Chair, but the father of Albie Sachs. But he wrote a very piercing article because, as you know, there used to be the poor white problem in the 1930s, where there was a Carnegie investigation into this problem of poor whites.
Yeah.
And he says that was overcome through one thing. It was through creating the manufacturing sector. And as you know, because you only had the mining and you only had agriculture, and whites couldn't find jobs in the agricultural sector because they couldn't compete with poor black labor, but manufacturing, as you know, the clothing industry is there in Joburg that they created. So manufacturing deals with poverty and exclusion. And therefore, we want to say it's no contradiction. You must have, as I said, growth in manufacturing will solve our problems. And then on the recapitalization and slow spending, I'll ask CFO just to make a quick comment. On recapitalization, we have recapitalized NMISA. And they are busy securing their building and so on. I've just written to the DG of Public Works to expedite the building for NMISA. NEF, as you know, the only solution to the NEF, because of the tight fiscus, there isn't any grants available for NEF. So the only solution is to merge with IDC because to use the asset base of IDC. And to submerge, to emerge NEF and IDC. So that is the solution to the NEF. Now, as you know, it has been to Cabinet. Cabinet has asked for more work to be done and for us to be a bit more ambitious in how we integrate NEF and IDC, but that is the ongoing work.
Yes, Mr.
Khan.
Thank you,
Julian.
Good afternoon to the Honourable Member. The issue on the recapitalization for the NEMISA specifically, Initially, there was a recapitalization program that started in 2011. It formed part of the economic competitive support package that was introduced by the National Treasury at the time. That package came to an end in 2018. So literally, going forward, the department had to reprioritize funding for this recapitalization program. We have agreed with them a process on how we're going to do it going forward. We looked at multiple options, but I think the most feasible option at this stage is for them to look at a process of actually phasing this recapitalization over a number of years. So literally what we need to do is provide them funding and so that will sort of enable them to recapitalize going forward. With regard to the financial performance, especially on the TISA program, the TISA program, one of the key elements in their program is the currency rate at the moment. So there's a large part of their program which they have a foreign footprint in many countries. And when we receive those vouchers for those expenditures, they either conversion back from dollars normally into the South African currency. They're at the moment not underspending, but actually overspending on their year-to-date budget. But it's something that we deal with within the broader budget of DTI. So that's really the issue on the trade and investment program. Thank you.
All right, well, we just have one at a time, right. Did you want to address the
card? Yep, so this is our mid-year performance. So for us, this is not something to be too concerned about. One of the key programs is our incentive programs. You see that's where the largest portion of the underspending is. And literally, it's got to do with the current state of the economy. As DJ has said in the earlier presentation, you know, we can produce and we're giving companies the ability to produce and invest more. But I think with the current low aggregate demand, a large number of these investments have not been taking place. So for us, it's that, and also with regard to our processes of actually ensuring that the investment has taken place, the necessary due diligence, the necessary paperwork. So all that, we will follow up and chase these investments in the last 6 months of the year. But this is something that we normally catch up going forward. We've also just finalized the adjusted budget process. And we've also looked at our budget in terms of our incentive book, where we are moving. And there are some improvements and adjustments on this budget going forward, which will sort of enhance our financial performance as we go towards financial day.
Honorable
McLovin? No, Chair, I think CFO, you need to help yourself. You see, when we're referring to this name, it's on the investment South Africa, which is at 25%. And then you also have the consumer and corporate regulation. And to a certain extent, maybe the industrial development. Probably the incentive program you're doing well. Probably might have missed the point. Probably you don't have to respond now, but it's important that if there's going to be an uptake of some of these resources, therefore there is an important phase, which is the preparatory phase, so that at least you don't have like the spiking up and spiking down in terms of those. Let's just note them that after 6 months, if we're using a linear progression, it will not look good. If you are doing what other people are doing wrong, you know that thing of doing wrong to say divide by 12, but I don't believe in dividing by 12 because it depends on the program it can flourish with. But just look at it, you know, from the face value, it does look like it's a small black spot on the good work.
There's just a clarification I require on slide 24. Special economic zones and economic transformation. And you're looking at cash flow projections and then the expenditure. It's about 30,000. I don't know, a bit of a difference there. Will you be able to reach your projection? And then the Incentive Development Administration, where 2.1 there, and then 1.2. I mean, that's a sizable difference there, huh? Variance. Now, and you're not going to have a problem. See, I am a little bit concerned, because doesn't it end at the end of September? Yes, DG. Sorry, Honourable MacPherson.
Sorry, just have one more question for the DG. DG, can you tell me who is the chief director assisting DDG in Socha? And can you also tell me where, if Mr. MacDonald and Chitende is still employed by the department, and in what capacity and what function is he employed?
Effectively, members that would come under administration and staffing, you see. It is a fair question. DG, over. No, just one moment. Honourable Mantash.
Thank you, Chair. On the special economic zones, economic transformation, there's still an available budget of 4.65%, and we're expecting the second phase of your upgrade in those industrial parks. What is, where are we? Why do we still have a huge amount yet? There's no second thing that is in the special economic zone.
Thank you, Honourable Mantash. Let's take a note to yourself, DTR, then if Mr. Khan wants to step in first.
Thanks for the question. The Special Economic Zones and Economic Transformation Program also houses the Black Economic Empowerment Commission as well. Currently, the commission is not a listed public entity like our other public entities, and currently they are housed within Program 3. One of the reasons you will note to see that there is a large portion of the budget available is because they were supposed to secure new buildings, new ICT infrastructure, but because of the listing which has taken so long and which we haven't yet got approval from National Treasury, they have to be confined within the DTI campus. Literally, that projected or that infrastructure which we were supposed to procure for them hasn't taken place, and hence the underspending. With regard to the industrial parks program, we are looking at the second phase. There was an industrial park symposium about just over a week ago. We met a lot of the provincial players and the local government. And we are looking at this program to be part, and maybe as I said, as to complement the current SCZ program. And that funding will literally come out of our incentive budget. So largely, it wouldn't come directly because the policy must be put in the SEZ program, but the actual incentive, the actual funding for the infrastructure, the roads and stuff will come out of the incentive program. With regard to the question around the IDAD, the incentive division, yes, we are behind at the moment, we are behind the curveball. But these are investments which we haven't approved. Yeah, we have approved, they're in the pipeline, but these investments either haven't taken place or they haven't yet met all the compliance with regard to the tax requirements, the BE requirements. So these are the things we are working quite closely with these investors to ensure that they comply in order for us to then disperse the funds. So it's more of a timing difference rather than anything else.
Potentially what you're saying is funds are committed. Just not
dispersed
yet because it's waiting on time. Thank you. DG, you
want to
address the question, Honourable
MacPherson? Yes, I didn't fully understand it, but it's about MacDonald. It's a change. Yes, as you know, MacDonald is the chief director in the department, CCRD. As you know, he was acting for a long period because, as you know, Zoltan Thuli used to be the DDG. She was seconded employed to the BE Commission, and then MacDonald used to spend a lot of time in Parliament because he was the acting DDG. As you know, we've completed the process of the appointment of the DDG, and Evelyn Masocha has been appointed full-time as the DDG, and that's why you see her and not Mr. MacDonald. Mr. MacDonald is a value member of the department. We've got lots of things we do. Besides, as I said, the team that comes to Parliament gets the research, the stakeholder. For example, Mr. MacDonald has been working with us on, as you know, with the National Consumer Commission, Department of Health, in terms of the food safety, listeriosis, all the work about the National Consumer Commission. That's what he's been doing. He's also doing policy making, and we've been finalizing all the treaties, to accession to treaties. All the background legal work is also Mr. MacDonald. So yes, he is the chief director, and he is no longer doing the. We've taken him off some of the stakeholder engagement issues because he tends to be rather robust sometimes.
Now I think you have addressed. Look, there are one or two questions that appear to be outstanding, and we will refer them to you for a written response. And members, at this point, we have completed then with the briefing on the Industrial Policy Action Plan and the second quarter financial and non-financial performance, including status reports on the recapitalization of the NEF and the MESA. And we will now actually go back to the formal consideration of the National Gambling Amendment Bill. It is just 17 minutes past 12, and we have like to excuse you, DG, and the team that is here, so that the next team could come and say to Mr. Cardinal. I was thinking of the team.